I want you to listen up this morning. You know, sometimes we say a few things in jest, but this morning we want to preach about a very, very serious subject. I will start by sharing with you something I heard in jest before I get into the seriousness of this subject. We're going to preach upon a marriage. And I was kind of looking at some things of marriage. And I thought it was kind of comical one time. This woman took her daughter to wedding. And so she looked around. She'd never been to a wedding. She looked around at all the thrills and bells and whistles and all the things that was at the wedding. And then she saw the bride coming in white. And she was taken by that. She looked up her mom. She said, "Why is she dressed up in white?" And her mom, because she was so little, she wanted to try to say it in words that she could understand. She said, "Because white is a symbol of happiness, and she's as happy as a person can get." She looked up, she said, "Why is a groom in black?" I'm just saying, I don't know. That was just it. Okay, but anyway, open Bibles, Matthew chapter 20. I've done got myself in trouble, ain't I? I've already lost half the audience. But anyway, chapter 22, verse number 1. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said," now let me stop right here and get you to understand something. Now listen to me very carefully because this is serious. There is one thing that God will not excuse, and that is the treatment of his son. The treatment of Jesus, because he has been given a name above every other name.
Amen.
There'll be no excuses. In Luke chapter, there's Luke, I believe chapter number 14 in Luke, there's a wedding represented. And everybody began to make excuses why they couldn't make it to the son, king's son's wedding. He didn't accept none of the excuses. There'll be no excuse for neglecting Jesus. Here he is dealing, and Jesus is fixing to go to the cross of Calvary. He is giving the last warnings to Israel. He had been telling some parables about how the husbandman, God, had sent his son after that they'd stoned the prophets and wouldn't listen to him. And he sent his son thinking that they would listen and have respect for him. And yet instead of having respect and listening to what he said, they offered him up to be killed and killed him. Representing what the Jews was going to do to Jesus. And so here in chapter 22... he tells another parable about a king having a wedding and inviting people to come to his son's. Then in chapter 23, he's going to get into something else. He's going to talk about the religious leaders of the Jews, scribes and Pharisees. And there in chapter 23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." And he talks about how hell will be full of them. Now stay with me a minute and think about this just a moment. You need to understand the rejection of Jesus will be a fatal blow to you in eternity. Eternity is coming. You must have Christ. If you're not saved and underneath his blood, it will be disastrous for you. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and it will also accompany all those that rejects the Son, amen, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So it's imperative to you learn who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, and how that you can be saved.
Amen.
So listen up this morning if you would. Again, verse number chapter 22, verse 1. "And Jesus answered, spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come unto the marriage. And they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up their cities. And then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Now, get in your mind this morning when you read this text. The text is literally about the rejection of the Jews of Jesus. How that they rejected Jesus, a son. They were worthy to take into the kingdom. And had they accepted him as their Messiah and accepted him as a son of God, the kingdom of God would have began. But because of their rejection, God burnt their city. And if you go back in history in 70 AD, he sent Titus of Romans and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had already predicted that one stone would not be left upon the other stone. The temple would be destroyed. And all that took place, just as Jesus said. But it was good news for us, because when Jews and Israel rejected Jesus, he sent out to those in the highways and hedges. We were the highways and hedges. The Gentile countries. And he sent out, he sent the invitation out that anyone that would come into the son's wedding, and they would come. Now there's a couple things you need to keep in mind. Weddings back then was handled a little differently. There were some things different. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but I want to cover a couple things. But let me say this. They put a lot of expense into weddings, and I know sometimes people does here too. I know Chris and I, we were given an option of taking a little money and going on a honeymoon, getting married at my mom and dad's house with just their immediate family. And so that's what we chose to do. Somebody said, well, we want a big old wedding. Well, ours lasted 39 years. And so it done pretty well. And I think we probably had, what you say we had in the whole wedding? $50? Yeah, 50 of my hard-earned dollars. Nah, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the truth of the matter is, a lot of expense. I looked up and I found and read somewhere, you know what the most expensive wedding was? $44 million. Pocket change. 10 days, $44 million. Some sheik, some dabub, something like that. $44 million in 10 days. And, you know, I was noticing a while back, and you may remember, over in England, some of this press that we got today, they act plumb jitty about stuff over in England. Act like that they set the standard that we all ought to bow down to. They forget our history. Of course, they're trying to take away the history. The reason we came here, or our forefathers came, is because of the way they were treated there. They want to reject the opportunity to worshiping God with liberty and freedom. And so we had forefathers come here. And so they were talking about, I was watching them a while back, and they were talking about when Prince William was going to marry Kate. And all of them reporters were so jitty about who was going to come, and they were going to give out 1,900 invitations, and they were talking about this and that, and one of them said, there's no wedding in the world I'd rather go to than that. My friend, there's a wedding I'd rather go to than that. And so they were talking about high class and all this. But you know, the strange thing about it was they sent these carriers out with 1,900 invitations. And all of a sudden the high class thought they were something, got their feelings hurt when they didn't get one and all that. But you know, they sent them out, but they had a dress code on it. There were three things that they were allowed to wear. Either uniforms or a lounge coat and something else. I can't remember what it was. Some type of coat and dress. In other words, they had to dress a certain way to be able to come to the wedding. And so I was noticing that the garments was important to them to come to a wedding. Well, here, if you notice this, everything in this wedding and being able to come to the wedding and being accepted at the wedding depended upon one thing: the garment they had on. Nothing else mattered. If you notice, the Bible says that when the father sent and the king sent out, he sent out to Israel, is what it was, the invitation to come and accept his son. They didn't want to come. They made light of it. They beat up the servants that they went and told them about Jesus being the Son of God. They beat them up, the apostles and all the ones. They beat them up, prophets. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. As a matter of fact, they asked him in the chapter before this, where did he get the authority to be able to preach? And so therefore, they didn't want to accept him for who he was. So God sent out the invitation to the Gentile nations. But now it was important. And you look here, there was a couple things I want you to note. First of all, I want you to note the availability of this garment. Back then, what would happen is, when they would invite you, many times when they would invite you, they would provide a garment for you. And so when you went to a wedding, you went, and they would have a garment waiting for you. And you put the garment on. We'll talk about it a little bit more here in a minute. And so the host of the wedding would provide that wedding garment. So everybody there had the same wedding garment that showed up to the wedding. Now that was important. I know one time when Chris and I, we hadn't been married very long, and I got an invitation to be a best man at a friend of mine at his wedding up in Cincinnati. And so I didn't think much about it. And so back then, me and her, we lived from paycheck to paycheck. We didn't have credit cards or anything like that. And so they told us to come up the weekend of the wedding. Nobody said nothing else other than that. And said they wanted me to go, come get tried on for a tux. And so we went, and of course, I went, and I got tried on, and they even fit us with shoes and all that, and I thought, man. And so after I got through trying it on and getting my shoes, I started to walk out the door. They said, $275. I thought, they talking to me? Yeah, they was talking to me. And I said, I got to pay it? Yeah, each of you got to pay $275. I thought, well, that would have been nice, somebody told me. And so, that really put us in a hard spot. We had no idea that we were going to be charged that amount of money to go up there. And kind of put a damper on the whole wedding with me. I don't know about everybody else. But anyway, back then, it wasn't so. They would provide the garments. And so what happened was, he said, listen, nobody wanted to come, so he sent out, he said, you come. He said, you go out, and you go out to the bad and the good. It doesn't matter. The character of the person did not matter. Where they came from, who they were, rich or poor, male or female, did not matter. The only thing mattered is, if they showed up at the wedding, they had to have the wedding garment. The garment was being provided by the king, and if you showed up, you better have the garment on. You think he meant business? You better believe he meant business. The one that didn't have a garment on, he was cast in the lake of fire. So you better understand what this garment is about. And so here, what happened was, when the king sent out and they rejected it, he said, well, you go out there to the bad and the good, and you bring them in. Doesn't matter what their abilities are. Don't matter where the social issues are. You bring them in and give them an invitation to come. Anybody can come. The wonderful thing about this is that the invitation is given to everybody. There will be no excuse if you die without Jesus. Whosoever will, let him come. God has sent the invitation. to accept Jesus to every one of us. Now, you've got to understand, there is an invitation, and you must come and you must be invited. Well, God has sent it out to the whole world, but he also has said there are certain times that he will let you know and he will send a carrier to invite you personally. That is the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 6, verse 44, the Bible says that you can't come unto him unless you are drawn to come. Every one of you, at some time in your life, God will send you out a personal invitation. That personal invitation will come by the carrier of the Holy Ghost. You will hear the gospel being preached. It will begin to bear upon you. And the Holy Ghost will take that gospel and make it plain unto you what you need to do and see yourself as a sinner, see Jesus as your only hope, and come unto him. And you'll feel some time, I tell these children, sometimes some parents tell me, they say, well, my kids have been asking a lot of questions about hell and about death and saved and all these things. And I talk to them sometimes, but I tell them all the same thing. I said, listen, do you understand what I'm saying? And most of them said, yeah, I understand. I said, in some given time, somewhere, God will reveal to you he is calling you to come. You will feel the calling of God upon your heart. And then when he calls you, you need to step out and come. Because that is God's invitation for you to come and to attend the to the wedding of his son. And so you have to come and you have to respond. Somebody said, well, I'll come whenever I want to. That's not the way it works. When God is dealing, you better come. You say, well, he dealt with me three times. Well, he might deal with you three times, but he might not deal with the next person but once. He doesn't promise you but once. And therefore, when the invitation comes, you better be ready to come. You better step out. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You better come when the Spirit's calling. Now, sometimes people come and they make false professions. The Bible says there's going to be many in that day that's going to have false professions. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, do many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It was all a fake. You're wrong. It was not real. In other words, you did not listen, you did not heed, you did not come with your heart, you only come with your mind. You got to give your heart. You got to give your heart to Jesus. Amen? Believe in your heart. Amen. Now, look back. Knows as well, not only was the invitation for all to come, but you had to also accept the fact of this garment. Somebody said, well, I wear what I want to. Well, you got to understand what this garment meant. Now, keep your finger right here a moment. Go over with me, if you would, in Philippians chapter number 3. We get an idea of what the garment meant. Why the garment was the most important thing of everything. Look, if you would, in chapter 3. Look in verse number 9. Paul said, and be found in him, not having my own what? Righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, that garment that this parable pictures is a garment of righteousness. In other words, when God looks on you, he sees you clothed with righteousness. Now, what that means is, when God looks at you, he sees you are perfect. And can I tell you something? Apart from this garment, there's not a one of us perfect. This righteousness is not come from our own works. Isaiah 64 says it best when he says our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. In other words, did you ever see somebody show up at a wedding or something and be filthy? I had a wedding one time, and some guy showed up. He showed up for the cake. And I mean, he was filthy, nasty, dirty, and he stuck out. because everybody else there was dressed for the wedding. Can I tell you this? If you don't have this wedding garment that only God provides, the King provides, you're not dressed and fit for the wedding. You see, what happens is this. When you believe upon Jesus, God takes your sins, and of course, 2,000 years ago at Calvary, He took the sins of the whole world and put upon Jesus. And Jesus died for the whole world's sins.
Amen.
But they're not. His death does not profit you unless you come to Him and get underneath that blood. Amen. You have to come to Him and recognize His work and believe upon Him. You see, the Father sent Him to die in our place, and so the gospel that we preach is His death, burial, and resurrection, and you have to believe that He died for your sins and took your place, and therefore you come to God through Christ Jesus because of what He done for you. Now, when you do that, what happens is God does this thing called where He imputes. The word imputes means that He does a divine transfer. He takes your sins and He hides them underneath Jesus. His blood, we find forgiveness of sins. And then He takes Jesus' righteousness, because Jesus is the only one walked on the earth in a body like us without sin. And because He was perfect, He takes His righteousness and He clothes you with it.
Amen.
And you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Therefore, when God looks upon you, He don't see that vest and so forth. He sees the garb that He made for you for the wedding. So therefore, what you need to understand is that even though the invitation is out, you have to realize and you have to accept this garment. Now let me say a couple things about it. The only way that you can receive the garment is by faith through the grace of God. You got to believe what the Bible says about Jesus. The second thing is, you have to understand, it's free. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. What happened with the Jews was, they thought that they were earning righteousness, and they thought that what they did under the law of Moses prepared them for God, and that God would accept them because they were Jews under the law of Moses. And they were of children of Abraham. And they thought all those things built for them a garment that was acceptable to the king. But the one that showed up in that garment under the law and in the garment under the pretense of being Abraham's children, he was cast in the outer darkness. Because you cannot be accepted, I don't care what you are and what you've done. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm not that bad a person." You're bad enough to go to hell. Just like me. As a matter of fact, you say, "Well, what do I have to do to go to hell?" Absolutely nothing. You just keep doing what you're doing, you'll end up there. Just like everybody else. It's not what you have to do to go to hell, it's what you have to do to keep from going to hell.
Amen.
And what you have to do is you have to accept the invitation of the King.
Amen.
You have to come and be able to come to the Son. Now, this is free. Now, let me say this as well. I like this part. Some of you don't know what this is like, but some of you bigger people may know. I like the part that it fits everybody. If you've ever been my size, you go to these stores and you can't get no clothes. And you go in there, and I tell Chris sometimes, I said, it depresses me to go shopping anymore. I said, I go and I get a shirt. The shirt sleeve comes right here. Pants look like this when I put them on. And so therefore, not everything fits. I usually go in yard sales. I see clothes, I walk right by them. Why? They usually don't have nothing over me. And so I just go somewhere else. But the point is this. Thank God for this. One size fits all with God. Sometimes I get these things from store. They say one size fits all. I say, that's a lie. That's a lie. It don't fit. But with God, it fits. The reason why is because this garment is made up of Jesus' righteousness. And therefore, His righteousness will cover. It don't matter. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Listen, the wonderful thing about it is it hides it. It covers it. It doesn't matter. Now, think about this. This garment, you say, well, why did they present garments? Because it changed your appearance before the king. You see, this guy could be here, and all this row here could be invited to the king's wedding, and this guy could be out in the field working, be dirty, and this guy could be doing something else, and this guy could have a sheep, and she could be cooking and be a mess. But when they covered it with garment, they all looked good. And so when the king come in, he would take and look, and man, everybody be in the wedding garment. And it don't matter how much dirt they had on them, they were changed by the wedding garment. And it doesn't matter how much sin we've had. Thank God for the wedding garment. The righteousness of Jesus covers us. And so when God looks upon us, it don't matter how much dirt we came there with. Thank God when we get the wedding garment and we get it applied upon us, when the king walks in, he's satisfied with what he sees. And it covers their dirt and prevents them from seeing the dirt that's behind their garments. Now let me say this in closing here a minute. The garment is a serious thing.
Yeah. Amen.
When he came in, he spotted, and there was one person that did not have the garment. And can I tell you this? Somebody said, well, I'm hoping that God won't notice me. There was this guy back in 1547. You may have heard about him. His name was Ivan the Fourth. He later on began to be called Ivan the Terrible. He was a first Russian that wanted to be called a czar. The word czar comes from Caesar. Caesar was a name that the Romans adopted because Caesar meant that they were God. They wanted to be worshipped as God. When you read the early history of the church, they would bring these Christians. For instance, here's Greg and his son and his daughter. And what they would do is they would drag their family down here if they claimed to be Christians. And they'd stand them before a Roman Colosseum. And they say, now, is Caesar Lord? Or is Jesus Lord? And if he said Jesus was Lord, they'd take these children in front of him. They stick them stakes, and they burn them. And he'd have to sit there and watch them. Or they'd take them over here and chain them to a post, and then they'd turn to tigers and lions and let them rip them apart. Or they drag them around the Colosseum behind a chariot until they're skinned. Or they bring a knife in, they flay their children alive in front of them because they said Jesus was Lord, and they didn't say Caesar was Lord. Well, see, Ivan, he wanted to be called Lord. So he created this name, short for Caesar, called Tsar in Russia. And he was first Russian Tsar. And so he thought he was God. And man, he was mean. He had seven wives and he mistreated every one of them. I mean, he killed anybody. He killed his eldest son that had the right to the throne because he got mad. Couldn't control his temper. That's why they call him Ivan the Terrible. But the thing about it was, when he got ready to die, he had a request. He told him, he said, shave my head. And he said, when I die, I want to be died or buried in a monk's robe. And so what he did was they had him shave his head and put a monk robe on him when he got buried. Some said, well, he was really repentant of his sins. Others said he thought that he deceived God in thinking he was somebody else. Can I say this? If you don't have the wedding garment that only God provides, you will stand judgment before God. And somebody said, this liberal group's running around saying, God is love. And he is. He loved you so much he provided Jesus. But my friend, if you reject Jesus and you die, you will stand before God and he will point you out. And you will have to answer to God and you will be just like this man right here. He was speechless. He had no excuse because the king had provided the garment. He had no excuse for being in where he was, and he thought that his garment was good enough and would be accepted, and he thought what he had done was good enough to please the king, and he found out it wasn't. Right. Only thing that would please the king is the garment he provided through his son Jesus. And my friend, if you don't have that garment, God will point you out one of these days. He will stand you before you. And when he's through with you, he will take you, bind you, and cast you into the lake of fire. And you'll be there forever and ever and ever in torments. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, I don't believe there's such a place as hell. You will. You say, well, God ain't that cruel. No, that's why he provided Jesus. He provided a way that everybody under the sound of my voice could be saved. Black, white, red, or yellow, it doesn't matter with God. Rich, poor, it doesn't matter. But what matters is you better have one thing, and that's a garment. If you don't have the wedding garment, my friend, you will be cast in the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You better have Jesus. He's a preacher, I don't like preaching like that. You can't change it. It's forever settled. Now, I've got one question for you today. Do you have the wedding garment provided by Jesus? If not, you are doomed. You're damned. There'll be no hope. But the good news is that Jesus died for you. But you've got to come to him. Would you come this morning? Maybe this morning as we sing, you feel the Spirit of God giving you your personal invitation to come.